Did you know that sending Paul's letter to the Romans would have cost him like $2,275 in today's money?
Wow.
That's like a first-class plane ticket.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it makes you think this was not your average ancient letter.
Right.
So we're going to take a deep dive today into some excerpts from a lecture by biblical scholar Dr. Craig Keener.
Okay.
And hopefully we can better understand why Paul invested so much in this particular message.
Sounds good.
You ready to see Romans in a whole new light?
Absolutely. And it's amazing how such a simple fact, like the cost of sending a letter,
yeah,
reveals so much about its importance.
It's true. It wasn't like dashing off a quick text message.
Right.
This was a major undertaking.
For sure.
So it makes me wonder, what exactly made this letter worth that kind of investment?
Well, Dr. Keener points out that Paul's letter to the Romans, it wasn't just a personal note.
Okay.
It was a carefully constructed theological treatise.
Okay.
And it was strategically sent to a specific audience, the believers in Rome.
Gotcha. So I see where you're going with this. The cost kind of reflects the weight of the message.
Yeah.
But what was so special about the believers in Rome, why were they worth a first-class letter?
Well, Rome at the time was like the heart of the Roman Empire,
right,
a busy metropolis,
yeah,
with a diverse population.
Yeah.
And that included a significant Jewish community.
Yeah.
So understanding this context,
right,
is,
yeah,
crucial because it helps us to understand the complexities that Paul was addressing in his letter.
Okay, so Paul is sending a message to the center of the world,
right,
addressing issues that have implications far beyond just Rome itself.
Absolutely.
But let's back up a bit here. We mentioned that Paul's letters were long.
Yeah.
Especially Romans.
Uh-huh.
Over 7,000 words.
It's incredible.
And he's dictating all of this to a scribe.
Yeah.
Just imagine that scene.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling, isn't it?
It is.
And Dr. Keener points out that this wasn't just Paul rambling on, you know.
Okay.
He was meticulously crafting his arguments.
Nope.
Right.
He used rhetorical devices,
okay,
to engage his audience and to persuade them of the truth of the gospel.
Wait. Rhetorical devices? What do you mean? You're going to have to break that down for me.
Sure.
This is a little academic.
Yeah, think of it this way. Paul was a very skilled communicator.
Okay.
He knew how to use language very effectively to make his points.
Right.
To connect with his audience on like an emotional level.
Yeah.
And to build a compelling case for his message.
Okay.
He wasn't just throwing out random theological ideas. He was strategically using the tools of rhetoric.
Okay.
To make his writing engaging and persuasive.
Okay, so he was like the ancient world's version of like a top-notch,
yes,
speaker or writer.
Exactly.
And you can see why his letters would have had such an impact.
Exactly. And by understanding these rhetorical strategies,
right,
it can unlock new layers of meaning,
yeah,
in his writing.
Yeah, this is already making me want to reread Romans with like fresh eyes.
Yeah.
But let's stick with the historical context for a moment.
Sure. You mentioned that Rome had a significant Jewish community.
Yes.
Like, how large are we talking?
Dr. Keener estimates that they may have made up as much as 5% of the city's population.
Really?
Imagine that.
Wow.
Tens of thousands of Jewish people,
yeah,
living in the heart of the Roman Empire,
yeah,
and facing a lot of prejudice.
Right.
Romans looked down on their practices. Sabbaths, circumcision, certain foods.
Right.
There were even expulsions under emperors Tiberius and Claudius.
Yeah.
It was a really complicated social landscape,
yeah,
for the early church,
yeah,
which had strong Jewish roots.
Okay, so I'm starting to see how all of this connects now.
Mm.
We got a powerful empire.
Yeah.
A diverse city.
Uh-huh.
A complex social landscape.
Right.
And a burgeoning Christian movement with both Jewish and Gentile believers.
Right.
No wonder Paul's letter had to be so carefully crafted.
Exactly.
It sounds like he was walking a tightrope, trying to address all these different dynamics.
Absolutely.
While proclaiming the gospel.
You're catching on quickly.
Oh, good.
And that's precisely why understanding the historical context is so crucial.
Right.
It helps us to appreciate the challenges that Paul faced,
right,
the arguments that he engaged with, and the profound truths that he sought to communicate.
This is fascinating. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier.
Okay.
You said something about these transcultural moral norms that Paul addressed in his letter.
Right.
What exactly did you mean by that?
That's a good question. Dr. Keener uses that term to describe moral principles that are condemned across time and across cultures.
Okay.
And when you look at Paul's list of vices in Romans,
right,
you know, sexual sins, slander, greed, deceit.
Yep.
It's striking how relevant they still are today.
It's like he's reading from today's headlines.
Isn't it?
But how does this concept of transcultural moral norms, how does that help us to understand Paul's letter better?
Well, it highlights this tension between timeless moral principles and culturally specific practices.
Okay.
So, for example, Paul talks about women in the home in 1 Timothy.
Okay.
But we also see examples of women working outside the home in other parts of the Bible.
Right.
And so understanding the cultural context helps us to distinguish between those timeless moral principles and cultural practices that might not be as relevant today. It's all about nuance.
Gotcha. So it's not about imposing a rigid set of rules from the past onto the present.
Right.
But it's about understanding the principles behind those rules.
Yeah.
And applying them wisely in our own context.
Exactly. And this is where careful study and discernment come in.
Okay.
But let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's delve a bit deeper into this question of the Roman Church's makeup.
Okay.
Dr. Keener points out that there's a bit of a debate among scholars.
Wait, so there's debate about who Paul was writing to?
Yeah.
That kind of changes things. Tell me more about why that's important.
Well, you see, in 49 AD, Emperor Claudius expelled Jewish Christian leaders from Rome.
Okay.
And this suggests that the early church in Rome had strong Jewish roots.
Right.
However, by the time that Paul wrote Romans, which was around 56 AD, those leaders had only recently been allowed to return.
So a five-year gap where the church in Rome was probably predominantly Gentile.
It's possible, yeah.
That does change things.
It does. And this context helps us to understand why Paul might be so concerned with explaining how Jewish and Gentile believers fit together in God's plan.
Right.
And remember, this is just a few years after the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15.
Oh, right.
Where they wrestled with similar issues.
Hold on. The Jerusalem Council. Can you give me a quick refresher?
Sure. The Jerusalem Council was a pivotal gathering of early Christian leaders.
Okay.
And they came together to address the question of whether or not Gentile believers needed to follow Jewish law.
Right.
It was a heated debate.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they affirmed that salvation was by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not by works of the law.
Ah, that's right. It was a landmark decision.
It was.
That shaped the future of the Christian movement.
Precisely. And it's crucial background for understanding Paul's letter to the Romans.
This is all starting to click into place.
Yeah.
But I have to ask, what about Paul himself?
Yes.
We know he was a Jew, deeply devoted to the Torah.
Right.
But he also moved easily in the Greco-Roman world.
He did.
How does that play into his letter?
That's a brilliant observation.
Oh, thanks.
Dr. Keener highlights this fascinating tension in Paul's background.
Right.
You know, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee trained under Gamaliel.
Right.
Yet he was also born in Tarsus.
Okay.
A center of Greco-Roman culture and learning.
So he was straddling two worlds.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this unique position allowed him to bridge the gap between Jewish and Gentile believers, he could speak the language of both cultures, connect with their experiences, and ultimately present the gospel in a way that resonated with both groups.
Wow, I never thought about it like that. It's like having the best translator in the world.
Yeah.
But speaking of translation, I've always wondered about some of Paul's arguments.
Yeah.
Sometimes they seem, I don't know, a bit out there. Like that thing about women's head coverings in 1 Corinthians.
Yes. The head coverings.
Yeah.
Dr. Keener addresses that too.
Okay.
He explains that Paul, like any good communicator, adapted his arguments to his audience.
Right.
So sometimes he used ad hoc arguments, meaning they were specific to the situation and the cultural norms of the time.
So what exactly does ad hoc mean, like in this context?
It means that Paul's arguments were tailored to the specific circumstances that he was addressing.
Okay.
He wasn't laying down universal laws for all time and all cultures.
Okay.
You know, he was engaging with the specific issues and concerns of his audience.
Right.
Using arguments that would make sense to them.
Gotcha.
In their cultural context.
So he was kind of playing by the rules of the game, so to speak.
Exactly. And in the case of the head coverings, Paul's ultimate point was about order and decorum within the church. He even admits that if they don't accept his other arguments, it's just the way things are done in churches across the region.
Okay. So that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
It's like, look, this isn't the hill I want to die on.
Right.
Just follow the cultural norms.
Exactly.
But it does make you wonder about other parts of his letters.
Yeah.
Like, how do we know what's timeless truth
right.
and what's culturally bound?
That's the million-dollar question.
Uh-huh.
And that's where careful study and discernment come in.
Right.
But remember, even those culturally bound instructions
okay.
can still teach us something about Paul's values and priorities.
Right.
We just need to be careful
yeah.
not to impose those specific practices
right.
onto our own culture
yeah.
without understanding the underlying principles.
Okay, so we have Paul, this brilliant bicultural theologian.
Yes.
Writing to a diverse church in Rome.
Right.
Navigating these complex social and theological issues.
Uh-huh.
What's the big takeaway here?
Well,
why should we care about all this historical context?
Because it unlocks the power of Paul's message.
Okay.
By understanding his world,
right.
his audience, and his communication style, Romans becomes more than just an ancient letter.
Right.
It becomes like a living, breathing conversation.
I love that.
That speaks to our own lives and challenges.
Yep. But there's one more piece of the puzzle I'm curious about.
Okay.
Dr. Keener mentioned something about Paul being accused of teaching that it's okay to sin because God's grace is so abundant.
Yeah.
That sounds a little sketchy. What's the deal with that?
Well, that's a charge that has followed Paul throughout history, sadly.
Right.
But as Dr. Keener explains, it's a gross misrepresentation of his teaching.
Okay.
Paul clearly believed that God's grace empowers us to live transformed lives, not to wallow in sin.
Right.
He addresses this distortion directly in Romans.
Okay.
Stating that those who twist his words are slanderers.
Oof. That's harsh.
Eh.
But it shows how important it is to read Paul in context.
Yes.
You know, it's easy to cherry pick verses
right.
and create our own version of Christianity.
Exactly.
That's not what Paul intended.
No, it's about understanding the whole picture, the historical, the cultural,
yeah.
and the rhetorical tapestry that makes Romans such a powerful and enduring text.
I couldn't agree more. This deep dive has been incredible.
It has been good.
But before we get, you know, lost in the book of Romans.
Yeah.
I'm curious to hear what you found most surprising about this deep dive so far.
Mm.
Anything that really stood out to you?
Well, for me, it was learning about how Paul masterfully used these rhetorical techniques to communicate his message.
Right.
It makes you realize he wasn't just a theologian. He was also a skilled communicator.
Sure.
Who knew how to connect with his audience on an intellectual and emotional level.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, it's easy to forget that these ancient texts... They were originally delivered as speeches or read aloud in communities.
Right.
So Paul was writing for the ear, not just the eye.
Exactly. And that changes how we read and interpret his words.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we need to listen for the rhythm of his arguments, the way he builds suspense,
mm-hmm.
the emotional weight that he carries in his words.
Yeah.
You know, this is making me even more excited to dive back into Romans.
Me too.
But before we go, there's one more thing we need to unpack.
Okay.
That tension between grace and law.
Right.
That seems to be at the heart of Paul's message.
Right.
Did Dr. Keener shed any light on how Paul navigated that?
He did. And it's actually a point of contention among scholars. Dr. Keener challenges the traditional view
okay.
that Paul was reacting against a legalistic Judaism that emphasized earning God's favor through good works.
Well, hold on. That's like the foundation of Reformation theology.
Oh, no.
Are you saying Luther got it wrong?
Not necessarily. But Dr. Keener points out that recent scholarship
okay.
has revealed a more nuanced picture of ancient Judaism.
Okay.
There was certainly an emphasis on obedience to God's law.
Right.
But there was also a strong belief in God's grace and mercy.
Okay, so it wasn't just about racking up good deed points.
Not at all. It was about living in covenant relationship with God.
Okay.
A relationship initiated and sustained by God's love and faithfulness.
Okay.
And this is where Paul comes in.
Okay.
He's not abolishing the law.
Okay.
But he's showing how Jesus fulfills it.
Okay.
Opening up this new way to experience God's grace and righteousness.
Okay.
Not through our own efforts,
yeah.
but through faith in Christ.
So he's kind of saying you can't earn your way into God's good graces.
Exactly.
It's a gift.
Exactly.
Freely given.
Yes.
That's such a powerful message.
It is.
It's no wonder Romans has resonated with people
right.
for centuries.
For sure.
It speaks to that deep human longing for acceptance.
Yeah.
For freedom from guilt and shame.
It does.
Wow, that's heavy stuff.
It is.
I'm definitely going to be pondering that for a while.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up, I have to ask the classic deep dive question.
Okay, shoot.
Knowing what you now know about Paul's context.
Yeah.
Do you think his letter to the Romans speaks differently to us today?
That's a fantastic question. And I think the answer is a resounding yes.
Okay.
Understanding the historical backdrop, the cultural nuances, the rhetorical strategies, it all adds like layers of meaning and depth to Paul's words.
Well,
it allows us to appreciate the challenges that he faced, the arguments that he engaged with, and the profound truth that he proclaimed.
Beautifully said. And for you out there listening, we'd love to hear your thoughts. You mentioned in your notes that you've always kind of struggled with Paul's teachings on women.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Keener's insights on this are fascinating.
They are.
So I'm curious to hear what resonated with you most from this deep dive so far.
I'm curious too.
Okay, so let's take a quick pause here and we'll pick up this conversation in part two.
Sounds good. So picking up where we left off, I think it's really remarkable how Paul, in his letter to the Romans, grapples with this tension between grace and the Jewish law.
Right.
You know, he was, after all, a devout Jew with a deep respect for the Torah.
Right.
And knowing that makes his message about grace even more powerful.
Yeah.
It wasn't just some abstract theological concept for him. It was a lived reality that transformed his own life.
Absolutely.
And it's this transformation that he's so eager to share with the Roman believers.
Yeah.
He wants them to understand that this new way of relating to God, this freedom from trying to earn God's favor through the law, is available to everyone, both Jew and Gentile.
That reminds me of something that Dr. Keener mentioned in his lecture.
Okay.
This idea that Paul wasn't necessarily reacting against like a legalistic version of Judaism, like some have traditionally argued.
That's a key point. Yeah.
Dr. Keener challenges this traditional view, arguing that recent scholarship has shown us a more nuanced picture of ancient Judaism.
Yeah.
While obedience to God's law was certainly important.
Right.
There was also a strong emphasis on God's grace and mercy.
So it wasn't just about following the rules to a T.
Not at all.
Okay.
It was about living in a covenant relationship with God.
Right.
A relationship grounded in God's love and faithfulness.
Yeah.
And this is where Paul's message of grace becomes so crucial.
Okay.
He's not saying that the law is irrelevant.
Right.
But he's showing how Jesus fulfills the law.
Okay.
Opening up a new way to experience God's grace and righteousness.
Right.
Not through our own efforts, but through faith in Christ.
I'm starting to see how revolutionary Paul's message really was.
Yeah.
It's like he's turning the whole religious system on its head, saying, look, you can't earn your way into God's good graces.
Yeah.
It's a gift freely given.
It is.
Stop striving and start trusting. That's a great way to put it.
Thanks.
And it's a message that's resonated with people throughout history.
Right.
Particularly during the Protestant Reformation.
Right.
When Martin Luther rediscovered this emphasis on grace and faith.
Now that you mentioned it, I remember you saying that Dr. Keener's view of Paul's relationship to the law.
Yes.
Challenges some traditional Reformation theology.
It does.
Can you unpack that a bit more?
Certainly.
Right.
The Reformation placed a strong emphasis on the idea that Paul was breaking away from a legalistic Judaism that focused solely on works righteousness.
Okay.
But Dr. Keener suggests that this view might be a bit too simplistic.
Wait, so Luther might have oversimplified things a bit.
Perhaps. Dr. Keener argues that Paul wasn't so much rejecting the Jewish law, as he was redefining its role in light of the gospel.
Okay.
He saw the law as a tutor, pointing to Christ, but ultimately insufficient for salvation.
That's interesting. So instead of seeing Paul as like a radical reformer, who completely threw out the old system, we should see him more as a bridge builder.
Yes.
Showing how the old and the new fit together in God's grand plan.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what makes Paul's letter to the Romans so fascinating.
Right.
He's not just preaching a new set of rules.
Yeah.
He's grappling with these profound theological questions.
Right.
Exploring the relationship between grace and law.
Right.
Faith and works, Jewish identity and Gentile inclusion.
It's pretty incredible.
It is.
You know, one thing that's always stood out to me is how personal Paul's writing is. Even when he's dealing with these complex theological issues, he doesn't shy away from sharing his own struggles and doubts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him so relatable even centuries later.
Right.
He's not just some distant figure spouting theological pronouncements.
Right.
He's a fellow traveler sharing his journey of faith with honesty and vulnerability.
How does that personal touch play into his rhetorical strategy.
It's brilliant, really.
Yeah.
By sharing his own experiences, Paul connects with his audience on a deeper level.
Okay.
He creates a sense of empathy and trust.
Right.
Which makes his arguments all the more persuasive.
Hold
it's
on.
Like he's saying, look,
yeah,
I've wrestled with these issues too.
Yeah.
I've been where you are.
Right.
But here's what I've discovered.
That's powerful.
It is.
It's not just an intellectual exercise.
Right.
It's a heartfelt invitation to share in his journey of discovery.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And it's this combination of theological depth,
right,
and personal authenticity,
yeah,
that makes Paul's letters, especially Romans,
yeah,
so compelling and enduring.
I'm starting to get a sense of why Romans has had such a profound impact,
yeah,
on Christian thought throughout history.
For sure.
It's like a wellspring of theological insight.
It is.
That continues to speak to us today.
Absolutely.
But with all this talk about theology and rhetoric,
yeah,
I don't want to lose sight of the people,
right,
at the heart of this story.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's easy to get lost in the abstractions.
Yeah.
But ultimately, Paul's letter was addressed to real people,
right,
living in a specific time and place.
Yeah.
And as we've been discussing, understanding that context,
right,
is crucial for grasping the full impact of his message.
And speaking of those real people you mentioned earlier, that there's some debate about the makeup,
yes,
of the Roman church when Paul wrote his letter.
There is.
Some scholars believe it was predominantly Jewish,
right,
while others suggest it was mostly Gentile.
Right.
What does Dr. Keener say about this?
Well, Dr. Keener acknowledges this debate,
okay,
highlighting the complexities of the historical evidence.
Right.
He points out that the expulsion of Jewish Christians,
oh,
under,
okay,
Emperor Claudius,
yeah,
would have significantly altered the demographics of the church.
Right.
But it's difficult to say with certainty,
right,
what the exact composition was. When Paul wrote his letter...
So there's still a bit of mystery surrounding Paul's audience.
There is.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that we can't glean valuable insights,
right,
from the historical context.
Right.
We know that Rome had a substantial Jewish community.
Right.
And we know that the early church had strong Jewish roots.
Exactly. And, mm-hmm, even if the church was predominantly Gentile by the time Paul wrote Romans,
right,
he was clearly writing with both Jewish and Gentile believers in mind.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, he addresses issues of Jewish identity,
yes,
the role of the law, and the inclusion of the Gentiles throughout,
yeah,
his letter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's crafting a message that speaks to the heart of the Christian faith.
Right.
A message that transcends cultural and ethnic boundaries.
Yeah.
And that's why his letter continues to resonate with us today.
Yeah.
Regardless of our background or beliefs.
Speaking of resonating today.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned earlier that I've always struggled a bit with Paul's teachings on women. Some of his statements seem pretty restrictive.
Right.
Especially from our modern perspective.
I get it.
Yeah.
And that's a common struggle for, yeah, many readers of Paul.
Right.
Dr. Keener addresses this issue head on.
Good.
Reminding us that we can't simply impose our 21st century values,
right,
onto the first century world.
Context is everything.
It is.
But that doesn't mean we have to just blindly accept everything Paul says.
Of course not.
Right.
Critical thinking and careful discernment,
yeah,
are essential when engaging with any ancient texts.
Right.
Especially the Bible.
Especially the Bible.
And Dr. Keener encourages us to wrestle with these difficult passages.
Okay.
To consider the historical and cultural factors at play.
Right.
And to seek understanding,
yeah,
within the broader context of Paul's message.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that studying the Bible isn't about finding easy answers.
Right.
Or conforming to a rigid set of rules.
Right.
It's about engaging in an honest dialogue with the text, wrestling with its complexities,
yeah,
and allowing it to challenge and transform us.
Oh, well said.
And it's in that spirit of honest dialogue that I want to ask you a question.
Okay, shoot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remember how we talked about the cost of sending Paul's letter?
Yeah.
That hefty $2,275 price tag?
Right.
Yeah, I can't get over that.
I know.
It really highlights the significance of this letter.
Right.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder,
yeah,
what was it about the message in Romans,
right,
that made it worth such a significant investment for Paul?
That's a great question.
What did he see as like the heart of the gospel?
Right.
The message that was so crucial to communicate,
yeah,
to the believers in Rome.
Indeed.
That's a great question, and one that I think we need to unpack a bit further.
Yeah, let's explore that question as we continue our deep dive into Paul's letter to the Romans.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Let's take another quick pause here and we'll pick up this conversation in part 3. Okay, so we're back, and I'm ready to dig into that question you asked at the end of part two. You know, about what made Paul's letter to the Romans worth the price of a first-class plane ticket to send.
Right. It is a question worth thinking about.
Yeah, especially since, you know, I mentioned that I've always wrestled a bit with some of Paul's more challenging teachings.
Right.
If this letter was so valuable, so carefully crafted, then I want to understand why. What was at its core?
Well, I think as we've been talking about, you know, Dr. Keener really emphasizes that understanding Paul's context is key.
Right.
So let's go back to Rome for a minute.
Okay.
Imagine, like, this bustling city.
Okay.
This mix of cultures, the tensions between the Jewish community
yeah.
and the Roman authorities.
Right.
Then picture this new Christian movement emerging,
okay.
composed of both Jews and Gentiles,
right.
trying to, like, figure out their place in this complex world.
Yeah. I could see it.
Yeah.
You know, it's this melting pot of ideas and beliefs
yeah.
with the early Christians trying to navigate a whole new way of life.
Absolutely. And into this dynamic setting,
yeah.
Paul sends his letter.
A letter that's not just like a collection of rules or rituals,
right.
but a profound exploration of the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, the good news of God's grace and salvation through Jesus Christ.
Okay, so the context sets the stage, but what's like the main act?
Right.
What's the heart of Paul's message that made it so important to deliver?
Dr. Keener argues that at the core of Romans is this radical notion. God's righteousness is a gift freely given to all who believe,
yeah.
regardless of their background or their ability to follow the law perfectly.
Okay, that sounds familiar. You know, we've been dancing around this idea of grace
yeah.
throughout our deep dive.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how does that one concept justify the cost, the effort, the meticulous crafting of this letter?
Yeah, because for Paul, this wasn't just like an abstract theological idea.
Right.
It was the key to unlocking true freedom and transformation.
Right.
Remember, he himself had been, you know, a zealous Pharisee.
Right. He was like the ultimate rule follower. Exactly. Striving for righteousness through strict adherence to the law.
Right, yeah.
And yet he came to realize that true righteousness couldn't be earned. It could only be received as a gift.
Right.
Through faith in Jesus Christ.
So he's kind of writing to the Romans to set them free.
Yes.
From that same striving.
Yes.
Like that same burden of trying to earn God's favor.
Precisely. He's saying stop trying to prove yourselves.
Right.
Stop trying to earn God's love.
Right.
It's already yours. Embrace the gift of grace and let it transform your lives.
Yeah, that's powerful. It's like he's offering them like a get out of jail free card, not to excuse sin,
right.
but to empower them to live a new life
mm-hmm.
free from the condemnation of the law.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this freedom, this transformation
yeah.
is at the heart of what makes Romans so valuable, mm-hmm. so worth the cost of sending.
Yeah.
It's a message that speaks to the deepest longings of the human heart.
Right.
You know, the longing for acceptance, for forgiveness, for purpose.
You know, as you're talking, it makes me think about those transcultural moral norms
yeah.
that we discussed earlier. The vices that Paul lists, greed, envy, deceit.
Right.
You know, they're all kind of symptoms of that striving, that trying to find fulfillment and worth apart from God.
That's a great connection. When we're trying to earn our own righteousness,
right.
we inevitably fall short.
Yeah.
We become consumed with ourselves,
right.
with getting ahead, with protecting our own interests.
Right.
But when we embrace the gift of grace,
yeah.
it frees us from that self-centeredness.
It's like that line from Romans, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Exactly. Paul's contrasting the dead end of trying to earn our salvation
right.
with the life-giving power of God's grace.
This is really making me see Romans in a whole new light.
Good.
It's not just a theological treatise. It's
yeah.
like a roadmap to freedom.
It is.
A guide to living a truly transformed life.
And it's a roadmap that's just as relevant today.
Yeah.
As it was in Paul's time, we still struggle with that same striving, that same temptation to earn our own worth.
Yeah.
But the message of Romans reminds us that true freedom and fulfillment are found not in our own efforts, but in the grace of God.
Wow. This deep dive has been incredibly insightful. I feel like I have a much deeper appreciation for Paul's letter to the Romans. And for you listening, I hope this has sparked a new curiosity about this incredible book.
Me too. You know, it's a letter worth revisiting again and again.
Right.
Allowing its message of grace and transformation to speak to us afresh each time.
Absolutely. So knowing what you now know about Paul's context, the complexities of the Roman church, the cost of sending this letter, and the heart of its message, Do you think Roman speaks differently to you today?
I do. Understanding the historical and cultural backdrop has really enriched my understanding of Paul's words.
Yeah.
And recognizing the immense value that Paul placed on this message
right.
makes it all the more powerful and relevant for me.
I couldn't agree more. It's been a privilege to kind of unpack these insights with you.
The pleasure was all mine.
And for you listening, we encourage you to pick up a copy of Romans, dive into its depths, and discover the transformative power of God's grace for yourself. Until next time, keep diving.